Hi, I'm David. This is Build to Succeed from Very Good Ventures. Today, we talk with Brian Abston, Senior Director of Digital Technology at Wendy's. In this episode, we dig into their successful Flutter transformation and the impact on their mobile business. So let's talk to Brian. Okay. Hi, Brian. Welcome to Build to Succeed.
How are you doing, David?
Doing great. Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. So I wanted to start our conversation. You're the Senior Director of Digital Technology at Wendy's. So the question I want to know that's most important is it okay if I dip my fries in my Frosty?
Yeah, I mean, so absolutely. That's kind of really what a lot of people do. So, you know, you get the salt and the sweet at the same time. The biggest controversy and the bigger controversy that we have at Wendy's internally is vanilla or chocolate. So what's your answer there?
Yeah, I've always been a chocolate, personally, okay, gotta say. Just a really, really great combo. Well, so that's a good intro. As I mentioned, you're the Senior Director of Technology at Wendy's. Maybe you could kick us off by just introducing yourself and maybe take us through your career journey that got you to this point.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Senior Director Digital Technology at Wendy's. Been around the industry for several years across different industries. Started my career as an electrical engineer. So my first degree I got was an electrical engineering degree. Started my career working in with hardware and data centers. You know, late 90s, things started shifting towards software and less hardware. And so started dabbling around in software and programming and kind of fell in love with it. And went back to school early 2000s and got my computer science degree. And ever since then, I've been doing software development for my career, kind of left the hardware scene and went straight into software and have been primarily a Java developer most of my career. Dabbled in some front end stuff. I'm dangerous with the front end part of the stack, but primarily just been doing Java development, some architecture stuff throughout my career. Yeah. And so about 8 years ago, got into the QSR industry, which is what we call it. It's quick service restaurants, so fast food. Had an opportunity to work for an iconic Oklahoma brand, come on board as the architect and help them build and launch their mobile experience for their brand. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed digital and really cloud, mobile, all that stuff is just a lot of fun. And it was really also my first time I've got to be involved in something that is used by the public. Most of my career was like in fintech and law enforcement and power industry. And so we had like internal software was internal to our customers internally, you know, that were paying for it, but nothing like where you have millions of people, including your neighbors, your parents and family using the product. And that made it a lot of fun. And so about four years ago, I had an opportunity to join Wendy's as their director of engineering and came on board and helped them kind of rebuild and retool their engineering chops at Wendy's and then pivoted over to just focus on digital technology. And that's where I'm at today.
So when you say digital technology, like what does that encompass at a company like Wendy's? What kind of digital platforms and tools generally are within that kind of business?
Yeah. So for Wendy's, our digital platform, digital technology, it's all custom built. So I'm over the software engineering side. So, you know, you're talking, we have a platform team and so our stuff runs in the cloud. So we have a cloud platform and then my team develops all the APIs that run on the platform and power our e-commerce as well as my team does the mobile development and our website as well for mobile ordering on the website.
Hmm. And that stack was mostly homegrown at Wendy's over time?
Yes. Yeah. As well as the last brand I was at. So it was all custom software because really QSR is a unique industry because if you think about it, like for Wendy's, we have over 6,000 stores. And so there's a lot of integration. So no matter where you're ordering on the mobile app, your order eventually has to end up in the store. And so there's a lot of challenges there because you can think about it as, you know, 6,000 little data centers that we have to be able to communicate with. And so there's some uniqueness to that. And with menu and everything like that, it requires a lot of custom development.
Mm. When did
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, when did mobile really start to take hold at Wendy's as a key part of the strategy?
So when I joined 4 years ago, it was already built and in production. So I think it was about probably 6 years ago when they kind of started with it. And then about probably 5 years ago is when they really kind of started investing heavily into it. And then when I came on board, it's been heavily invested in and keeps growing every year.
And so the mobile app was a big project at Wendy's, right? I think you guys have recently, did you re-platform or was this a new build that you guys have done recently?
So we recently completely rewrote the mobile app. We originally had a native iOS and native Android app, and we've rewritten it from the ground up in Flutter.
What was the challenge with the previous native apps that kind of led to that sort of change?
Yeah, I mean, so mobile native app development's expensive, right? So you have one product, but you have to have two code bases, right? You have an Android code base and iOS code base. And so that means, you know, two different teams potentially. And it's hard to kind of operate as one team when you've got, you know, two different sets of developers working on two different code bases. Some of the challenges we had was the app over the time prior to me joining it had kind of changed hands a couple of times with different partners. And so originally it was, you know, it was when it was built, there were some architectural things that were not done properly and some best practices not followed. And then it just kind of kept building on top of that as the app got more complicated. You know, like, for example, it was not very testable. The way the code was written, it was hard to test. And so when things are hard to test, right, it takes longer to get things into production, as well as, you know, you're going to have more bugs in production. So it just became to where it was taking too long to meet our business, what our business was asking for. So we had come to really a crossroads at Wendy's, and the decision was either major refactor of both code bases or rewrite it. And so I had dabbled in Flutter for a while and had been following Flutter since it was originally announced and really liked what I'd seen with it. And so I really started looking into the decision of, hey, let's just rewrite this thing in Flutter and let's get one code base and not have to worry about, you know, managing two different code bases.
Yeah. What was the process you went through to identify the need, right? Because I think that probably I'm assuming there was some pushback or concern at the time of like, can we do this? Can we rebuild the thing or completely replatform it? What's that going to do for business continuity, pushing new features? How do you kind of like go through that process of figuring out that A, it's the right thing to do and get the buy-in, and then B, what's the process for evaluating those two solutions to a point where you could make a decision and run with it?
Yeah. Well, start with the decision on Flutter. I'd been following, you know, the industry for a while and, you know, the promises of being able to have one code base and run on both platforms. And, you know, really there had been some predecessors that tried. And in my opinion, it just didn't live up to the hype. And it really came down to there's two, in my opinion, two players. You got React Native and you have Flutter. And so I took a look at both of them. React Native is a great product and it's popular. But for me, when I was evaluating React Native, I found it difficult to get up to speed quickly with React Native, as well as it was really hard to find like, hey, if I'm doing this, what is the best way to do that in React Native? It was really hard. You do a Google search and you'd get 10 different answers, and the platform was moving, the framework was moving so fast that what was best practice, you know, 6 months ago is like not the way you do it anymore. And so I found it really hard, as well as the tooling I found kind of difficult to kind of get up and running, and took a little bit of work. And so when you contrast that with Flutter, I really enjoyed Dart. I thought Dart was an easy language to learn. Really, the tooling in Flutter is top notch, in my opinion. You can get up and running in a matter of minutes with Flutter. And the developer experience is great. So for me, it became really an easy decision. You know, as a leader and you're thinking about the team, you also have to think about, you know, when I start trying to find developers, you know, if I have a junior developer that has experience, but, you know, not experience in either Flutter or React Native, you know, how hard is it going to be them to get up to speed on either one of these frameworks? And I just felt Flutter was hands down the winner there. So it was a really easy decision there for that. You know, how do you do this? For us, you know, I didn't have a lot of buy-in at the time from the business, because we, you know, our previous code base was not great. We were having really hard time kind of delivering and meeting the meeting the needs of the business and being able to move as fast as they wanted to move. So not a lot of confidence in the team at that time. So fortunately I had, I had the confidence of our CTO and so talking with him, we both agreed that, something's going to have to be done. And so he had a lot of trust in me. And so the way we went about it was, he worked with me and we basically funded a 6-month engagement we brought on 2 developers, 2 Flutter developers, and gave them 6 months and said, let's see how far we can get with Flutter in 6 months. And, within 6 months, we're going to know, hey, is this going to work or is it not? And so for us, we really kind of skunk worked it, I guess you would say, and really to start showing the business that, hey, this is the right decision. And as we started building it, it became really, really obvious that this was going to be a go.
Awesome. So you built the new app in parallel while you're continuing to support the native apps.
Yeah. And so the interesting thing there is while we were working on Flutter as kind of the skunk works, we were also still adding things to the native app. And we got to a point where we would be adding the same feature in both to try to keep them similar. And we were getting like 2x speed on Flutter. Like something that would take, 30 days in native to get done, we would get done in, less than a sprint. And so we found really overall about a 2x improvement in velocity to get things done. Kind of a funny story that those 2 developers started middle of December, a couple of years ago. And I went on leave for Christmas break for 2 weeks. And when I came back, we had our first call when I got back, and they worked a lot of Christmas break. They took a few days here and there, but for the most part, the two were working. And when I got back, I expected maybe to have a screen or two ready. And, I got back and they pretty much had a functioning prototype where, you could browse the menu and log in and auth and I was just totally blown away by how fast, we were able to get something up and running.
Did they have, were they like essentially using the native apps as a reference code or?
Yeah. So for us, it was a little different because we already had an app with millions of users using it. And they were both already in the app store in public. And so when we started, we said, okay, let's just make it very similar to the native app. And we'll kind of go from there. Really, it was just to prove that we could make what we have now in Flutter and show the business that, yeah, we can do this, easily with Flutter.
Was there skepticism? You mentioned, internally the business was sort of feeling the pain of the prior apps, mm-hmm. and there was a little low trust. When you think about making a bold choice like this, we're going to do something different as a solution to it. What kind of skepticism did you have to overcome, or what kind of internal sales did you have to do to get everybody comfortable with this choice?
Really, it was just a matter of me kind of calling in some favors and say, hey, just, could you trust this decision? And the way we went about it, I think really allowed us to kind of hedge our bet because, we didn't say, hey, we're going to go, spend millions of dollars and build a whole team and we're just going to throw away the old app and rewrite it. Right. We said, hey, we're going to prove to you in less than 6 months that this is the way to go. And so the decision really paid off well because, it's scary to go tell the business we're going to just throw away everything we've been working on and rewrite it completely. So, that made it really easy to kind of overcome the skepticism. We had skepticism on the technology side as well, with Flutter being a newer framework. We were worried about, we have a lot of integrations with different partners. And we were worried about, could we deal with it if they don't have an SDK, does the bridge, I think Flutter calls it a bridge. Is that going to work? Is it going to live up to the hype? Can we do that easily and make things work? But for the most part, we got lucky. Several of our partners, while we were building the app, were also launching Flutter support as well. So we actually helped one of our partners test their Flutter SDK as we were building our app. So a lot of that became not important as we kept going because there was more support for Flutter, every week.
That's awesome. What was the, like, sort of, help me understand, like, the shape of your team back, both pre-native and then maybe kind of where it is today in terms of, like, roughly how big was each team and what was the flow of, like, idea through into, like, product and design and into engineering and deployment? And I'm just kind of curious to contrast how that may have changed from the old way to the current state.
Yeah, so Wendy's, the product team, the digital product team, they live with our marketing team. And so our engineering team is separate, but we're partnered closely. So we're in meetings daily with them. And so everything kind of flows through the product team, the ideas, and they decide, you know, hey, this is something that we really want to add to the app. And then they work with us, the engineering team. And then, you know, we implement the, whatever they ask was. And so prior to Flutter, we had basically two teams. We had an Android team and a iOS team. I think we had about 12 developers. What we saw was, you know, we tried to keep them as one team, but, you know, when you have a team going off and implementing something, another team going off and implementing something, oftentimes they're not implemented the same way. And there would be little nuances between Android and iOS. Most of the time it wasn't major, but, you know, sometimes there'd be nuances. And then also you have obviously unique set of bugs in each code base, right? And so, you know, something would get report. Mobile's really hard just in general when you have millions of users, right? You've got all these devices, all these different screen sizes, you know, network connectivity issues, and just lots. I call it the Wild West, basically. Your app is in a hostile environment. It's not like in a controlled data center. So, you know, we'd get an issue reported, and then, the first thing you would have to find out, is it the iOS app or is the, you know, Android app? And so there was always this kind of divergence of things that would happen, you know, and two different paths based on what the device was. It's also hard for QA, right? You have a QA team that has to test an Android app, everything in the Android app and everything in the iOS app. And so it also was intensive for QA and the product team. Product team had to sign off on, you know, two different code bases. And so moving to Flutter, it's greatly simplified how we do things. And so now we think of everything as one. Yeah, there's some little nuances between iOS and Android, but for the most part, our business requirements and the things that we're doing, you know, within our business logic is the same in both apps. And so it becomes really easy for the product team to sign off on things because they're really only, you know, looking at the same code base for the most part, as well as the QA team. And so it's been really nice. And then the team itself, we basically combined both of our teams into one team. And so now it's just the mobile team. And we don't have to think about iOS and Android, you know, teams being separate and trying to make sure everything's together. It's really given us the opportunity to flex our resources around, right? And so if we have a feature that's a pretty big feature, you know, we can just put more developers on that feature. Whereas, you know, before we were limited, right? If we had a big feature, we were limited to only the iOS developers and only the Android developers on the Android side. And so now we have a bigger pool of developers to kind of, you know, shuffle around onto different things as needed.
That's really insightful. And that's an area where I think with these multi-platform solutions, people often focus on the developer productivity. But I think what you're highlighting is the impact on all the adjacent teams that the engineering team has to interface with, the design team, the product team, the QA team. And there's a lot of savings and efficiencies on those teams as well, and the relationships there. So you mentioned, I love that notion too, of like you switched down just the mobile team, just the one mobile team. But what's that like culturally? Because you said you got 12 people, iOS and Android, they probably identify as I'm an iOS developer, I'm an Android developer. You got two Flutter engineers going out, kind of rebuilding it and kind of keeping pace and then maybe even going a little faster than them. What was that like from a culture perspective and like a team perspective when you were making that transition and that shift?
Yeah, we had a few developers. So most of our mobile developers are contractors. And so most of them were excited about moving to Flutter. We had a couple that were, you know, they're diehard native developers and they just didn't want to move to Flutter. And so we worked with that, you know, but for the most part, everybody was super excited. And the way we really messaged it, there was really not any issues. Look, when you have a bad code base or a code base that's not great, and it's bloated and it's been, you know, passed down from multiple teams, look, it's not a knock on the current team, right? It's just, it is what it is. And it becomes unwieldy and difficult. Really, in my opinion, it really just solidified, you know, as we were doing stuff side by side, it really solidified that moving to Flutter was the right decision because we were able to move so much faster. So really, to be quite honest, David, there was not really any negative piece, you know, negative sides to moving to Flutter with the teams. Everybody was excited. And since then, now that we're fully Flutter shop, everybody loves it. And, you know, one of the things also, you know, when we were done building it, you know, we were, I don't remember what the final number was, but we were high 90s in test coverage, like 98-99% test coverage in the app. And so it was just a pleasure to work with for the developers, because they know if they break something, they're more than likely going to know before we hand it off to QA.
That's awesome. So in addition to the efficiencies of being able to just ship faster, you're doing things now that just weren't possible to do before in terms of like making sure you got the time to write tests.
Yeah. Another very pivotal thing that we invested in when we moved to Flutter is we worked with our UX partner, and we built the design system. And so our new Flutter app is completely using a design system. And so, you know, our old app, like just an example, we had 10 different shades of red, Wendy's red. And, you know, and you get a new developer in there and they may go grab the wrong color. Whereas now, you know, it's all built in the design system. And so somebody comes in, they just use the pre-built components, and it just makes the experience much more unified.
I have a question around this cultural shift too. Do you feel like now that the team is all aligned and more unified as one team, has it improved overall the general team culture and collaboration?
Yeah, I think so. There was really not a lot of, even though we had two mobile teams, I mean, iOS team and Android team, we all shared most of the same ceremonies together. So there was not a lot of us and them in our culture. We worked really hard over the last 4 years to build a very friendly engineering culture. And so didn't really see a lot of that. But one of the things it has done for us as an engineering team is it's built a lot of trust with our business partners and our product team. And, you know, now they really see that, yeah, it was the right decision. And having them all on board and moving with us to move forward has been awesome. And just having the trust, right? And don't get me wrong, the lack of trust was something that we had earned, right? And so we had to earn that trust back. Trust is earned. And so this was a really positive thing for our engineering team as a team as a whole.
That's something we've heard before from some other companies that have switched to Flutter, is like repairing this broken trust that the technology has, where when the technology is moving really slowly, one of the things is like we have this reputation, like everything's going to take twice as long and cost twice as much in technology. Mm-hmm. And I've said before, it's like, what a terrible reputation to have, like as a profession. Mm-hmm. And then you get something like this where you have an opportunity to repair that trust and you're able to move faster. You get that trust back and that confidence. What kind of like business values do you think that, or business impact that shift in trust creates for a technology team in terms of velocity? Is it just shipping faster? Is it more responsive reaction, fixing bugs faster? What are the impacts?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of the above. Last year, we had a couple of partners that we had to change, and we had two of them. One of them was kind of a Y2K event for us. We had to get moved off by a certain date, and we had made the decision at that point. It was before we launched Flutter. We launched Flutter in April, and we found out in December we were going to have to move partners. And it was a major piece of our integration and our application. And so we were given a very tight timeline. Like we were told by the company, they don't think that we could get it done within that timeline. And had it been native, I don't think we would have got it done. But we were able to deliver on time with Flutter and get it out the door and launch it in time. We launched in April. Our Y2K event was July. And so we launched our Flutter app first on Android. And started doing the staggered release and watching, you know, our KPIs as we increased, you know, several hot fixes, right? Because once you throw something out in the wild, you're gonna see things that you've not seen in a lab. And so the ability to hot fix, like, and so prior to, in native, we were doing about one release a month, and now we're doing a release a sprint if we want. So we're doing two releases a month if needed. And as much as we've been moving lately, we've been taking advantage of that. So we've been able to basically deliver much faster.
So not only more efficiently, more productive with the team, but also just shipping value to customers much, much faster. And like the same to both places at all times. Not like, ooh, is Android a little different? Is iOS a little different?
And also, too, it becomes hard to keep two teams in sync, right? And two products in sync. We still have, like, you know, we also have a mobile, or not a mobile, a web ordering site as well. And keeping that in sync is hard. And so, you know, when you had three different things trying to keep in sync from a customer experience perspective, it made things harder. And with the mobile app, it just being Flutter now, it becomes, you know, it's in sync. You launch it and it's launched, you know, on both platforms. You know, you upload it to the app stores and you're done.
Yeah. So that's interesting. It changed your release schedule and how you guys are shipping to customers. Have there been any other sort of changes to the way your team works as a result of this shift or change? Any, you know, build pipeline, CI/CD, even maybe just the design system was one you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everything we do, automation is king, right? So we try to automate everything. Some of the things that when we build and release that we try to do, we use a lot of feature flagging. And so, you know, you got to get the App Store approval. And so when you get it out there, it's hard. You can't really roll it back, right? It's not like an API that we control, right? And we just roll back, you know, we just run the pipeline to roll it back. So we rely heavily on feature flagging within our mobile app so that we can turn it on for, you know, for whoever we want, as well as we take advantage every time of the staggered rollouts in the app stores now, you know, being able to roll it out to a small percentage of users. Those two things have allowed us to continue to move fast and take some risk because, you know, we can easily, you know, turn off or slow down if we do find issues and hot fix it.
Has it also improved the relationship with the like the marketing team and the promotions team? I would imagine quick service where there's a lot of like regional campaigns and, you know, maybe there's something big happens and you're doing a big advertising campaign in sports or some sort of seasonal promotion or something like that. Has this improved your ability to like keep up with the ideas of the marketing team and all the pace of that as well?
Oh yeah, for sure. And that was really one of the biggest drivers, right? Is we couldn't keep up for Wendy's. March Madness is one, we call it our Super Bowl. So we do a lot of heavy promotion during March Madness. And so some of the things that we've done in the app will allow us to dynamically change things and stuff like that to whereas before it was kind of hard-coded and require an app release. So we've done a lot of things when we rebuilt it. We kind of architected it in a way that would allow us to keep up and allow us to change things without, you know, involving the engineering team.
Super cool. Do you guys use any like RevTech or MarTech tools like the Brazes or mm-hmm. the loyalty program, stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah. We're heavily in CRM as well as loyalty. So loyalty is a huge aspect for Wendy's Digital. It's one of the primary reasons, you know, someone uses an app for QSR is a lot of the offers and rewards of ordering through those.
And no risk. I know sometimes the people we talk to, they're a little worried about like, am I going to be able to use my favorite loyalty tool or something like that? But have you guys felt any pains from this transition or this change across the board? Is there anything you missed from native or where Flutter's been not the greatest thing?
No, to be quite honest, no, it's been, that was my biggest concern, right? Was that there's going to be some things that we miss. And, you know, for QSR app, there's a ton of integrations, but there's nothing super native that we needed. So we could overcome it very easily. We still have a couple SDKs that don't have Flutter SDKs, but we've just, you know, built the bridge and, you know, use it that way. So, but for the most part, you know, some of our key integrations are either API driven, so it doesn't matter, or they've released an SDK for Flutter. So it's not been an issue, and we haven't missed native at all. I've not heard anybody say, man, I wish we would have, you know, rebuilt this thing in native.
Mm-hmm. I think there's fear and there's concern about like, well, what don't I know? And maybe I'm going to mm-hmm. hit something that's unexpected. But certainly listening to your story today, I mean, it'd be a no brainer to do it again. You know, if you go back and tell yourself, you'd be like, it is 100% the right choice. Not hearing a whole lot of like negatives or reasons not to. Why do you think some people might be sitting on the sidelines with some of this technology and not embracing this? We see, obviously, the benefits are massive, mm-hmm. right? In terms of cost savings, speed, time to market, all those things. What do you think is holding people back on this?
Just the unknowns, I think, probably more than likely, right? For us, I can be a risk taker at times on technology. So I've been around long enough that when I see something that I think is the right solution, I kick the tires and I take a look at it and it feels right and looks right and looks like it checks all the boxes, I'm willing to put a little bit of time into it and make sure that it is the right solution. I think, you know, for Flutter, the biggest concerns were, it's not native, right? And so you're worried about what's going to happen. You know, is Flutter going to be here a decade from now or 5 years from now or whatever? Or is it going to see the adoption rate that, you know, that React Native is seeing? And so that was really the kind of the skepticism that I saw from within myself and the team. And like I mentioned earlier, we did the 6-month test, and that really, in my opinion, is what made the decision easy. It would have been a little more difficult for us to go in and get everybody to say, let's do this. Flutter is absolutely the right decision and go all in and do it, right? And so kind of really hedging it a little bit with that 6-month POC really checked all the boxes for us.
Mm. So it sounds like this definitely had a pretty significant impact on the bottom line for Wendy's.
Yeah, for us, you can look at it two ways. You know, when you do something like this, when you combine the code base, you could look at it as, well, we could cut the team in half, or you could look at it as, I can take my existing team and deliver, you know, close to double of what we're delivering now. And for us, that's the road we went, because we weren't able to keep up before with the team, you know, in the code base. And now, you know, we're able to keep up. And so for us, it was, you know, the value of being able to deliver. But there's two different ways that a company could look at it. You could look at it as, I'm going to save resources, cost and resources, or I'm going to really save because I'm getting double the value out of the same resources.
Hmm. Nice. Yeah, fair weather and foul weather stories there, you know?
Yeah, it just depends on whichever way you want to look at it. But there's either way, the value of having one code base is, I can't speak to it enough in mobile. And it's just so hard to maintain two code bases that need to try to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
If you have an app that has a lot of complexity to it.
Yeah. Have you guys considered like going to any other platforms, like doing any kiosk work or in-store ordering type stuff or anything along those lines?
Yeah. So we looked at doing it for web. I challenged the team and said, you know, hey, let's just do a little POC and, you know, and take a look at it for web. End of the day, we decided not to proceed with web. There's some, still, in my opinion, is still a little bit immature around SEO and ADA mm-hmm. compliance. And so those are some of the things that are important to Wendy's and some of the things we wanted to improve on. And so for us, it just made sense to not move forward with Flutter on web. It's being used in other parts of the company as well for some internal applications for mobile. And then I'm kind of looking at it for some other internal tooling type applications.
Super cool. Yeah, I'm pretty hot on the idea of like kiosks and sort of non-traditional devices. I think there's just a lot of that's the real multi-platform aspect of it that mm-hmm. I think is super fun. And then you get real fungibility of people where yeah. you can take people on your mobile team, work on those internal apps you're talking about, work on the kiosks, and you know, whether it's Linux or Windows or whatever else. And I think there's a lot of untapped area there.
Right. And I agree. Our next gen kiosk, we decided to use a partner for, but if we would have internally developed the kiosk, I was 100% going to use Flutter for it, because it would have fit perfect. And we would have been able to reuse a lot of our mobile code base to develop it.
Awesome. Well, we've talked a lot about Flutter. I wanted to get a sense for some of your like management approaches, you know, what it takes to lead teams and run through some teams through these transitions. What are some important lessons you've learned as a result of going through some of these big technology transformations and moving a team through, navigating that sort of broken trust to regaining the trust, making a big technology choice, doing that pivot? What are some things you've learned in terms of like leading teams to be successful through these moments?
Yeah, some of the big lessons on a big project like this is, you know, building something that works is easy, right? Like getting it to a functioning app that's that works is easy, but building something that's production ready is hard. And so, especially if you're replacing an existing app, right? Like we had 40 million users, and we had a lot of challenges because, you know, it's not a new app that we're just going to launch in an app store. We had to figure out how to, you know, the next day they're on a native iOS app and they get an app store update, and all of a sudden they have a Flutter app. You know, how do we not break everything that they have, you know, stored locally on their device for, you know, around auth tokens, things like that. So we had a lot of challenges around that. So while we got something up and running quickly but dialing in and getting it production ready for the consumer, there's a lot of work between, yeah, it works to yeah, it's ready to be launched. And so that's really for us a lesson that we learned and something we already knew, but you know, when you're working on a big project, you sometimes look past that, but just getting it ready for production, there's more work there than getting it built, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think people, we like to do the fun new stuff, build a brand new app, you know, get something new, fresh, but those transition points and making sure you don't leave anybody hanging, there's a lot of details to manage there. What advice would you give to other leaders, or if there's someone else who's hearing your story and be like, wow, this is a no-brainer, we got to look into this. What advice would you give to other leaders that maybe would be about to kick off a similar story?
Find some type of supporter or ally within your leadership, whether that's, you know, your CTO or your CIO or your CMO or whoever. Find somebody that you can get behind you on the project and help evangelize the project with you. You know, you're not always going to get buy-in, right? Like, you're not always going to be able to go convince all the stakeholders that this is the right thing to do. Be creative, kind of like we did, and try to find a way to get it started and get something tangible that you can show the people that are skeptical. And like, I if you can show them and they can get their hands on it and see the value, you know, you'll instantly turn a naysayer into a sayer. So that's my biggest advice is, you know, you have to have some type of buy-in and support from somewhere in your organization. And if you can't get the type of buy-in and funding that you need to just, you know, say, hey, let's go do this, let's go all in and do it, try to be creative and see if you can get some type of funding for a Skunkworks project and see what you can get going.
Mm, that's awesome. You mentioned a couple times about having the CTO partner, like that buy-in. Mm-hmm. Is there just a general like leadership philosophy that you think makes a technically minded company more likely to be able to embrace these things? Like, what made it about your CTO even that had the right mentality for you to go off and do this?
You know, there was a lot of trust between myself and him, and we had worked together before. So there was a little bit of history there, which was good, as well as, you know, a good CTO will listen to their engineering leadership, right? So he was a big user of the app and saw a lot of the challenges, and he, as we were rebuilding our engineering organization, you know, he was pretty close to everything that was happening and seeing all the challenges that my team was having. And so, seeing that and knowing that, and, he knew that, you know, like I said, we came to a fork in the road and it was either refactor or rebuild. And so, he, you know, because I had the relationship with him and the trust, you know, when I said, let's rebuild, he said, let's do it. So then we figured out a way to do it to where we could kind of hedge a little bit, right? Because we didn't have full support and we didn't have the funding to go pull all of our native developers at that time and go rewrite it. We still had things we needed to deliver to the business. So we found a way to do it kind of skunk work.
That's awesome. Yeah, that trust and that buy-in and that little bit of risk tolerance is pretty important.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. I think the Flutter community is going to really value you telling your story here. And sort of last question I wanted to ask you is, like, looking ahead, obviously there's a lot of change going on right now in technology world. What are some exciting technologies or changes you're seeing in the landscape of technology these days?
I'm going to give a lame answer of AI, but in a different kind of maybe a different perspective. I'm really excited about AI is just to boost developer productivity. Kind of being your pairing partner, right, to help. I don't see it anywhere ready to replace developers. I see software engineering as an art. Computers are very hard with being creative. And so I don't see it from, oh, hey, we're all going to lose our jobs to to AI, but I really see the value in having an AI partner that can help, you know, sit with you and pair with you and make recommendations and, you know, help throw out a bunch of boilerplate code for you just to increase your productivity, help you with, you know, writing tests that cover, you know, what needs to be covered, et cetera. So that's what I'm really kind of excited about, is having an AI partner that helps with the pairing aspect. And if you think about that, right, you know, pair programming has been around for a long time. Think about this, that's two developers, right, kind of working through the same thing. What if you had be able to take split those people up and pair with an AI, right? Now you've got double the productivity. You've got two developers working on different things, but they still have a pairing partner to help with the second set of eyes and just as a partner. So, yeah.
That's awesome. It's obvious when you say it now in retrospect, I'm like, oh yeah, it is pair programming, and AI is just a natural progression of that. When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Or like the rubber duck thing, you know, where you explain your problem to a rubber duck, sit it on your desk. It's a rubber duck that can talk back and actually help you out. You know, and I think it's pretty cool.
I always joke, like, the reason I don't think AI is anywhere near ready to replace us is, you know, when you're working with trying to get requirements, we can't even get good requirements that humans can really action on a lot of times. And so imagine, you know, hey, for AI to be successful, you have to have a really good set of requirements and be able to tell it exactly what you need. And that's just really hard for humans to do, is to tell everybody what, you know, to tell somebody what they really need. It's really easy to tell somebody what you don't like, but it's hard to tell people what you really need. And so until we can get there, we're just not going to be there with AI, in my opinion, for a while. But as a to help with productivity, I think it's exciting.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's really all the things you're saying about Flutter too. I mean, AI is a progression of that. If you think about Flutter as a way to make your team more productive by having one code base and simpler sort of things to interface with, AI is just a natural step in that direction too, making your team more productive.
And that's really what I'm, as you know, as an engineering leader, that's what we're tasked with, right? How can you make the team more productive, whether it's getting rid of some processes, paperwork, you know, things that slows them down and keeps them from, like, being, you know, banging out code, which is what we really pay them to do. So, so I'm always looking at it from the productivity perspective.
That's awesome. Yeah. It connects with your thing there of, like, not trying to reduce the team, trying to, you know, use the team we have to do more.
Right.
If you embrace it that way, it makes a lot of sense. So, well, thank you so much. This has been awesome. Really appreciate you telling the story of your career, but also the experience at Wendy's, making this transition to Flutter and the benefits that come from it. Where can people find out more about you and technology at Wendy's?
So you can either go to wendys.com. We post all of our job openings on wendys.com. And then for me, I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me at Brian Abston. Just search for Brian Abston and you'll find me.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I can't thank you enough. This was awesome. Again, stories that we really want people to hear and see out in the world, because, you know, you're making a difference every single day with these apps and driving business for Wendy's and having a great experience for your team and your leadership. And that's what this is all about. So,
yeah, I do want to add one thing.
Sure.
We may or may not use some of these tools called Very Good. Just FYI. So,
all right.
So
right on.
We may have done the very first thing we did in Flutter may have been a Very Good create with using CLI. So just, I don't know if you know anything about those tools, but that is what we used.
I've heard about them somewhere. I'll have to go ask the team. Maybe they've heard of them. I don't know.
So yeah, my team wanted to tell you thank you and for the contributions that your company has made to Flutter. And they were super excited. I told a couple of folks that I was going to be doing this and they were like super excited to, so.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah.
Love to hear it. That's what this is all about. It's all about raising the tide for all boats and, you know, getting the best practices and standards out and helping teams be successful. So that's why it's awesome to have you come on here and tell your story as well, because I hope that you can go out and inspire other companies, other leaders, other teams to do this same work as a result of the success you've had. Awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you for joining us on Build to Succeed, a Very Good Ventures podcast. We hope you enjoy exploring the experiences and insights of leaders that have built successful digital products. Please take a moment to leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe to get our latest episodes. Thanks again, and see you next time.